If you can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And as you're turning there, as we are learning about prayer and specifically what Jesus wants to teach us through the five parts of the Lord's Prayer, I had this thought, that maybe somebody had this thought. And that is, in order to pray right, I got to make sure that I pray through the five parts of the Lord's Prayer every single time. If you had that thought, you don't have to raise your hand, but maybe you've had that thought. And while there's some truth in that, getting ourselves ready, hair or something, getting ourselves ready before the Lord, thinking about Him, putting our eyes off, or setting our eyes, turning them off of the things of this earth and putting them on Him, whatever that may be that we need to do, that's good that we have those times, that we have some truth to think about those five parts of the Lord's Prayer. But sometimes, all we can offer up is just what Pastor Craig Groeschel calls shotgun prayers. Bang, bang, bang. Just real quick prayers, okay? In times where we'd say, I need to pray about this, but I don't have time to right now. Or I'm in the middle of a conversation with somebody else, and I really need to pray that God directs this conversation the way He wants it to go. Or before I forget, this person asked me to pray, and I said I was going to pray for them, but before I forget, I better pray right now, just in this moment. Okay? And those may sound like this kind of prayer. Lord, help me in this conversation. Amen. Okay? Or, Father, would you give my sister the wisdom that she needs? Amen. Or, Jesus, help my child to make good decisions right now. Amen. Those are all valid prayers too. We don't always have time to clear our minds before we pray. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray until we can clear our minds. Amen. In fact, the Bible says to pray without ceasing or to pray all day long. And that's not easy to do when you got stuff going on all day long, right? It's not easy. So it's never a bad idea to slip away from the crowds and take five to spend them with Jesus throughout the day, as often as you need to. But as we begin to pray, as we begin to submit ourselves to Him, even as we start the prayer, God can help us to get the right perspective so that we can pray according to His will. But this model for prayer that Jesus gives us is a place to start. For all those times that we come rushed into the Lord's presence, hurried, anxious, upset, distracted, hurting, sick, needy. For all of those times that we may come to the Lord in prayer and find rest and assurance that we also then leave differently than how we came to the Lord in prayer. In fact, I'd say that if we go to the Lord in prayer and we leave and nothing has changed, we need to go back. It's not time to leave the prayer closet yet. Amen? God brings transformation through our prayers. It's more important to pray than to make sure that you're praying all five parts of the Lord's Prayer. That's the point, okay? All right, that was free. Now we're getting into it today, all right? So we're going to read Matthew 6. Does someone want to read today? All the kids are gone, so they're not volunteering. Vanessa can read today, okay. Matthew 6, 9 through 13.
Do I stand up or sit down?
You can just sit, that's fine.
Okay. All right, let me go ahead and find it here. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. May what you want to happen be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And you said through 11.
Through 13.
Sure. 13, okay. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins just as we also have forgiven those who sin against us. Keep us from falling into sin when we are tempted. Save us from the evil one.
Amen. Thank you. Yes. Father, we thank you today for your word. God, it may be that we read it the same words each week for right now, but I thank you, Lord, that you can still do new things in our hearts through this same word, because it's the living word. And so, Lord, I pray that as I share what you have put on my heart to share, God, that you would send your word forth and it would change our hearts, it would bring transformation in us, and that we would draw closer to you through this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, if you happen to shop at Menards, they have, specifically, if you're looking for a mattress or maybe a new window, they have different classifications. They have the good, they have the better, and they have the best, right? Good, better, and best. Good gets you by, but better is better than good, right? Yet no matter how much better is better than good, it's nowhere near as good as best. You follow me? For best is so much better than good. It's the same with the bread. Same with bread. The cheapest bread in the store is still bread, although it's not really all that great for you. It looks like bread anyway. It meets our needs. As opposed to the most expensive bread in the store is better than good bread, but it's still not the best bread. So where do we get the best bread? That's the title of the message today, the best bread. Where do we get the best bread? I guess we better talk about that today, because that would be good, right? I had fun writing that. Okay, so last week in our series, Teach Us to Pray, we took the Wayback Machine back in time as we talked about asking God in prayer to give us our daily bread and how God uses what he supplies to help us learn to trust him rather than having too much or having too little. But as we looked up that Greek word for bread last week, that word has a broader definition than just physical food. As there is more that he supplies than just our daily provision of bread, and there is more than just daily bread that we need in order to truly live the abundant life. Amen? I mean, more than just our physical food. So today we're going to continue talking about this third part of the prayer, as I believe that God wants to widen our perspective on daily bread. As I was studying for the message on the heavenly perspective that I gave a few weeks ago, I was reading out of Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, and it talks about in there that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts, because they are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. Okay? And as I was doing that, God widened my perspective to look at more of the chapter of Isaiah 55. And I began to read in verse 1, and it says this: "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen that you may live." Now, some observations out of that, there is a provision that doesn't cost us anything. There's a provision that doesn't cost us anything at all. When I talked about last week, I said I got laid off and we didn't have money for food. And yet God brought provision without me having to spend money on food. Okay? God brought that provision. Also, if you have a Quick Trip rewards card and you use that, I didn't realize they track how many times you visit. And so I happened to look at it, it was probably last weekend, and I was like, oh, I've been there like 89 times since I got my Quick Trip rewards card. And they said, well, if you got so many visits, then you get to get something for free. And I said, oh, tell me more. So I look at it, and I was like, wow, I actually am eligible for two sets, really, but a six-pack of Dunkers donuts. Dunkers donuts. I'm like, oh, this is good. I like this. And so I go in there and I take my Quick Trip rewards card. That's hard to say. Quick Trip rewards. Quick Trip rewards card. I take it in there and I swipe it, and that amount that I was supposed to pay for that six-pack of Dunkers went to zero. And I bought Dunkers with no money. I thought that was pretty cool. So there's provision, although that wasn't very good provision. Donuts are not really great provision. But there is provision that doesn't cost us money. That's what he's talking about there in Isaiah 55. Number two, we can spend what we have on what isn't what we need. We can spend what we have on what isn't what we need. Or we can put our effort or our labor into that which does not satisfy. It's possible to do. Is that possible for you to do that? That's possible for me to do that. And number three, by listening to what God says, we may live and enjoy a rich fare. A rich fare. Now, this book, Isaiah, was written between 740 and 680 BC. In other words, like over 2,700 years ago. But there's still applicable stuff for us today in it. Amen? Amen. So what kind of bread is the prophet talking about? Well, last week I mentioned that the Greek word for bread used in the Lord's Prayer occurs 97 times in the New Testament scriptures. And one of the places that it occurs repeatedly is in John chapter 6, the Gospel of John chapter 6. In fact, I counted 16 times this word bread occurs in that one chapter alone. What's that chapter about of John chapter 6? I'm glad you asked. John chapter 6 starts with talking about Jesus feeding the 5,000 people plus women and children. So the 5,000 men plus women and children. And in verse 11 of John 6, it says this. It says that all the people ate all that they wanted. Not just what they needed, but as much as they wanted. And even though they ate as much as they wanted, there were still 12 baskets of leftovers. Okay? The next day, when Jesus and his disciples have arrived on the other side of the lake, this is after Jesus walks on the water to them and they get across the water, the crowd that got the meal the day before finds Jesus over there and they start with, like, Rabbi, how did you get here? When did you get here? And he goes immediately into talking about bread. And he says, there's a different kind of food than the bread that they received through the miracle that he performed the day before. And he calls it a food that endures to eternal life. John 6, verse 27. So he begins to talk about this other kind of bread, but the people are still caught up in this miraculous provision of bread from the day before. And the crowd begins to ask him, okay, whatever you're saying, but what will you do? What will you do in order to get me to believe what it is that you're saying? That's what they begin to ask him. And they ask for another sign. What sign will you give us? Okay. The crowd is hungry for the sign rather than the sign provider. They want to see him do it again. Do it again, Jesus, do it again. Signs, wonders, miracles are good because they can confirm who Jesus says that he is. But if we aren't careful, we can find ourselves chasing after him just for the provision. I found my channel of provision, and that's what I'm going after. I found my channel of provision. And we neglect or we forget that he is first our Father, our God who wants to supply us with all these good things, including eternal life. But so the crowd asks Jesus in John 6, verse 30. Says, what will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now that word for bread is the same Greek word in the Lord's Prayer. It's the word artos. Artos, not our toast, but artos. Okay. Although you can make toast out of bread. Different type of artos. And Jesus, using that same word that they're talking about, says this in verse 32. He says, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread, artos, from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true artos, the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Guys, I am so thankful that Jesus came to give us a full revelation of the Old Testament so that we can understand these things. We don't live in the time where they're making this transition. They're trying to figure this out in the moment as Jesus is talking to them. But we have the full revelation of what the Old Testament meant in our New Testament. And Jesus brought that. I'm so thankful for that. But this is a very different kind of bread than what the crowd had eaten physically the day before. But it was beginning to sound far better than even the good bread they received yesterday. And so the crowd's response is similar to the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, two chapters before in John chapter 4. When Jesus spoke of, they were talking about the water from the well, and Jesus took her over to talk about living water. And she said this. She said, sir, give me this water, this living water, so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. So also the crowd here in John 6, verse 34, they said this to Jesus. They said, sir, always give us this bread, this artos, or give us this bread from now on. And again, Jesus, using the same Greek word for bread, he says this, I am the artos ozoe. The artos ozoe. What does that mean? The bread of life. The bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Never be thirsty. He's making a transition from a physical thing to a spiritual thing, from physical bread to the bread of life. Like he did with the water at the well to living water. Everything in the physical represents something in the spiritual. Okay? That's a point today. And he said in verse 49, Jesus continued, he said, your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. That's Exodus 16, like we read last week. Yet they died. But here is the bread, artos, that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread, artos, that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. What is he talking about? Salvation. That's what he's talking about. Him being the bread of life means salvation for anyone who eats it. Anyone. Here's the point. Jesus is the spiritual bread of life that we need for forgiveness of sins, for abundant life now, and for eternal life to come. And this bread from heaven is the gift of God to us unto salvation. Like the Israelites asked Moses in Exodus 16, what those thin flakes like frost were on the ground. That's what the word manna means. What is it? They asked him, and Moses replied with saying this, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. So God, through Jesus Christ, has provided bread from heaven, the bread of life, the artos o zoe. You learned a Greek phrase today, artos o zoe, that whoever would come to him in repentance and believe in him by faith will receive eternal life. And this bread is better than the better bread. Okay? This is the best bread. It's better than better, and it's better than good. Amen? And guess what? It didn't cost us anything to be eligible for this bread. It doesn't take any money to buy this bread. Daily bread, here's the point, daily bread supplies what our bodies need, but the bread of life supplies daily what we need for a life of godliness. Daily bread supplies what our bodies need, but the bread of life supplies daily what we need for a life of godliness. And as we feed on what God supplies each day for physical food, we are to do the same thing each day as we take in more of Jesus. More of him and less of us. The more we take in of him, the less that there is room for anything else in our lives. We need to take him in. We need to bring him in. In everything that we're doing. Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, man shall not live on bread, again, artos, on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And guess what else we know? Jesus is the Word of God. That's what John 1:1 says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later it says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we beheld his glory. He is the Word of God that we are to take in, and he is the bread that we can buy without money, as the prophet said in Isaiah 55. We live on his Word. We feed on his Word. We take it in, so that we can pray his word. And when we receive it as truth, he satisfies us. When that becomes our truth, above everything else that we can possibly believe as truth, even if it's a fact in this world, everything in this world is temporary. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. When we take in what is truth, he satisfies us with the richest of fare. And this best bread is for anyone. Anyone, not just for those who can afford to buy the better bread in the stores today. For as Jesus says in John 6 and verse 50, anyone may eat and not die. Anyone. There is not a single person ineligible to receive salvation. Not a single person. Not a single person who cannot afford to buy the bread of life. Because Jesus is free for everyone. Jesus is free for everyone. Now, how does this tie into learning about praying for daily bread? I'm glad you asked. That's a good question. As we pray for daily bread, we are reminded of the true bread of heaven. It's the same word. It's the same thing, like they used to say at the Half Price Store commercials. It's the same thing. You ever heard of Half Price Store? Okay. Anyway, that's what the guy said. All right. The true bread from heaven, supplied to us for abundant life now and eternal life to come. They both come from the same source. They both come from the same source. He gives us bread or food to live physically, and he gives us himself that we may live spiritually. This daily bread symbolizes our living bread. And here's the main point today. Jesus provides daily bread because he is our bread. He is the living bread, the one that gives us life and breath and everything else. Everything else. That's a pretty big inclusive statement. He gives us life and breath and everything else. The same one who meets all of our needs, including our need for purpose, our need for significance, our need for life, for all eternity. Give us today our daily bread. Amen? As we close today, as we enter our response time here, will you stand with me? Will you stand with me? This past week, I was standing in front of my microwave at home. I put something in there, I was waiting for it to warm up. And like Americans typically do is like, okay, that's working for me, now I'm going to go do something else over here. I didn't do that this time. Instead, I stood in front of that microwave and I watched those seconds count down. And the seconds, as you're standing there watching them and not doing anything else, those seconds seem like they take longer than a second. It's more like this. Right? And I'm thinking about that. And at the same time, just I feel like the Spirit of God just speaks something to me. And he says, look at that, look at those numbers and consider them to be the number of your days that's left. And they're counting down. Now it wasn't going like slow anymore. Now it's going like this. Like those seconds, as I'm watching them count down, they're almost coming too fast. They're almost coming too fast. I'm like, oh man. And this question comes to mind. How are you living each of the days that you have left? All of us have a number of days to be on this earth. How are you living each of those days that you have left? Are you making them count for Jesus? Or are you just trying to make it through? 30, 29, 28, 27, 26, 25. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you? Or are you just like, okay, maybe tomorrow will be a better day. Maybe next week will be a better day. Maybe next month. I just got to make it through this season, and then I can really live again. Meanwhile, every single one of those days is counting down, like a second on the microwave. You're never going to look at a microwave second anymore the same way, are you? Right? Am I making them count for Jesus? Am I living out my purpose? Or am I just making it through another day? Perhaps I need to consider the number of my days, because someday they're going to stop. We're going to hit zero. Moses prayed this prayer in Psalm 90 in verse 12. He said this, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Will you today consider the direction of your life? Will you consider the number of your days? We're going to pray. And we're going to play a song. But if there's somebody today that needs prayer, maybe you haven't made the decision yet to follow Jesus Christ. Maybe you haven't considered the number of your days ever. And whether or not you're living them for Jesus or not. Someday that clock is going to stop ticking. What if it's today? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word today. I thank you that you help us to see things more clearly. God, you want us to see. You give the blind sight. You give the deaf ears that hear. You give us hearts that are open to receive those things that you want us to receive. And Lord, we come to you today. And maybe we need to confess that you being our daily bread, that we don't take that in every day. We don't take in the bread of life every single day. We're maybe doing our own thing. We're maybe living for ourselves. We're maybe not following after you. Maybe someone here today needs to make that decision to follow Jesus Christ, to take in the bread of life for the first time. Maybe someone here today needs to recommit their lives to Jesus, to take in that bread of life again. Maybe there's something else that we need prayer for today, whatever the case may be. Lord, teach us to number our days. Help us to remember that. God, you're teaching us how to pray. You're helping us to take in the bread of life. God, teach us to number our days. Help us to make our days count for you, Lord. Every single day. No day is wasted. God, even as you said, gather up all the leftovers from the feeding of the 5,000. To gather them all up, nothing is wasted in your kingdom, Lord. God, help us not to waste a single day. Not a single day.